reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Rai, verses 84 through 88. But because 84 is a important verse, the basic verse of the concept in the class today, we'll chant 84 together. Yato taramaso svadha Vishesholasamayyapi Pratirvasanayasvadvi Vasate kapikasya chit Yato taramaso svadha Vishesholasamayyapi Ratir visanayasvadvi Vasate kapikasya chit Yato tarama sausvadha Vishesho lasamayati Ratir visanayasvadvi Asate kapikasya chit Yato tarama sausvadha Vishesho lasamai api Pratir visanayasvadvi Asate kapikasya chit Yato tarama sausvadha Vishesho lasamai api Pratirvasanaya svadvi Asate kapikasya chit Ladies? Yato tarama sausvadha Vishesho lasamai api Pratirvasanaya svadhi Vasate kapikasya chit Yato tarama sausvadha Vishesho lasamai api Pratirvasanaya svadhi Vasate kapikasya chit Yata utaram One after another. Aso that. Svara vishesha of particular tastes. Ulasa pleasing. Mai empowered with. Api although. Ratihi love. Vasanaya. By desire. Svadvi. Sweet. Vasati. Appears. Ka api. Someone. Kasya chit. One of them. Translation. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another. But that love, which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desires, manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. Please repeat. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes.
Increasing love is experienced in various tastes.
One above another.
One above another.
But that love, which has the highest taste,
in the gradual succession of desires,
manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is from Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2538, and it also appears in the Adi Lila, chapter 4, verse 45. Purva purvara serguna pare pare hai duit tina ghanani pancha pare antavadai. There is a gradual order of improvement in transcendental mellows, from the initial ones to the later ones. In each subsequent mellow, the qualities of the previous mellow manifest, counting from 2, 3, then 3, and up to the point of 5 complete qualities. Gonadhike svadhadikya bhade pratirase shantadasya sakya vatsalihera guna madhuryeti vaishe. As the qualities increase, so the taste also increases in each and every mellow. Therefore, the qualities found in Shanta Rasa, Dasya Rasa, Satya Rasa, and Vatsalya Rasa are all manifest in the conjugal love, Madhurya Rasa. Akasadhira gunahena para para bhute duitine krame bhade pancha prithivite. The qualities of the material elements, sky, air, fire, water, and earth, increase one after another by a gradual process of 1, 2, and 3, and at the last stage, in the element earth, all 5 qualities are completely visible. Paripurna Krishna Prapiti e prema haiti e premara vasakana kahe bhagavate. Complete attainment of the lotus feet of Krishna is made possible by love of Godhead, specifically Madhurya Rasa, or conjugal love. Lord Krishna is indeed captivated by this standard of love. This is also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Purport. To explain the topmost quality of conjugal love, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives the example of the material elements, sky, air, fire, water, and earth. In the sky, or space, there is the quality of sound. Similarly, in air, there is the quality of sound and touch. In fire, there are 3 qualities, sound, touch, and form. In water, there are 4 qualities, sound, touch, form, and taste. Finally, in earth, there are all 5 qualities, sound, touch, form, taste, and also smell. Now, one can see that the quality of the sky is in all, namely in the air, fire, water, and earth. In earth, we can find all the qualities of material nature. The same can be applied to the rasa known as Madhurya Rasa, or conjugal love. In conjugal love, there are the qualities of neutrality, servitorship, fraternity, and paternity, as well as conjugal love itself. The conclusion is that through conjugal love, the Lord is completely satisfied. Conjugal love, Madhurya Rasa, is also known as Sringara Rasa. It is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam that in the complete combination of loving service to the Lord, namely in conjugal love, the Supreme Lord fully agrees to be under the control of the devotee. The highest form of conjugal love is represented by Srimati Radharani. Therefore, in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we can see that Krishna is always subjugated by Srimati Radharani's influence. Om Agyane Chirandasya Ginandana Sarakaya Chakshurun Nivikam Gena Tatmai Sri Hrade Namaha. That prayer is appropriate to this topic. Who could ever know about the loving affairs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead unless they were linked with someone from that dimension? If we're not linked, if we don't have a connection, if we don't hear from that dimension and abode, then all we can do is speculate. And no one's mind can penetrate or accelerate to that level of understanding these topics. So the first thing we have to understand or acknowledge when we discuss rasa with Lord Krishna, relationship of intimacy, is that we are in a fallen condition. And our experience has bound us to an illusory concept of what love is through millions of births. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, it gives that example of the upside-down banyan tree. The other day, Nagaraj was giving class, and he was describing how he was trying to connect the barrel on his Tulsi beads in a mirror. And everything was in backwards. In other words, you move your hand one way and it's actually going the other way. So I was thinking to take that example where you're mixed up trying to do something in a mirror and your coordination isn't right because it's inside out and backwards, and applying that to a relationship. For example, if you take a page of this book and put it in a mirror and try to read it, how difficult will that be? What to speak of the whole book? Or what to speak of the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, which used to be 17 volumes, and that's just one book. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam, inside out and backwards, in a mirror would be very difficult to do. But if you practice and practice and practice, what would happen is that you would probably learn how to do it. You would become conditioned to be able to perceive the book as the inside out and backwards and start to think that that was reality and the real way to read, which is what has happened to us. We've become inside out and backwards in our relationships. So when we hear about these things with Lord Krishna, our perception of that experience is tinged with our experience. So, but in the same way, if you're in a mirror and you jump up and down, the reflection jumps up and down. So it appears real. It does the same thing. The principles are the same. So in the same way, these topics, which we're discussing about relationship, have the same basic principles of reality, even in our illusion. For example, everybody can understand this example of conjugal love being the most tasty, the most fulfilling, because we have experience of that. Practically every good story has to have some conjugal element to it. You look at the most famous stories or even histories of the material world, Romeo and Juliet, or what's the most highest grossing movie ever? Titanic, or what's the other one there? Avatar. These are the highest grossing films ever, and they both have elements of conjugal tension within them. It's natural. But they're completely illusory. They're called fiction, because it's not a true story. Whereas when we're dealing with Krishna and his devotees, that's reality. So I wanted to start with that understanding before we go any further. This verse that we picked out, number 84, is from Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where in the chapter, it's the second wave, part number 5. Which is describing different sthayi bhavas. Sthayi bhava is a continuous, non-changing emotion or relationship. And there are 5 of them which are being described in this section, or which Ramananda Roy has actually been describing. Neutrality, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and now he's describing Madhurya Rasa. It should be noted also that this chapter has more than 300 verses in it. We're on text 80 or 90, 88. So we're not deep into this topic. One of the other things that's unique about these features, one of the features of Lord Krishna is that he's unlimited. Topics about him are unlimited. So what we're getting here is a basic framework from which Ramananda Roy will progress into deeper and deeper levels of these topics. But right now, he's explained the 5 basic relationships. And then Lord Chaitanya will ask him to continue, and he'll go deeper and deeper and deeper into those relationships. So these particular topics in this particular section were also elaborated on by Lord Chaitanya when he spoke with Rupa Goswami. That's where Rupa Goswami got his information to compile the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So I want to read and go through that section, because that section will very clearly explain this overview. This goes deeper into that these particular topics about how the material elements, how they progress one from the other, and how rasa progresses from one to the other, and that the qualities in the one are manifest in the second. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he's meeting with Rupa Goswami in Prayag for 10 days. And it gives the qualities. It's interesting also to note that he spends more time explaining Shantarati, Shantarasa, than all the other ones. In other words, the qualities of a Shantarasa Bhakta, Shantarati, the affection for the Lord or appreciation for the Lord in Shantarasa, are the foundation for all the other rasas. So you have to take your time and do the foundation first before you can progress. Otherwise, you're not going to be properly situated. One will take an illusory, it's called a Ropa Bhakti. A Ropa Bhakti is when one takes his or her previous experience and applies it to Krishna's pastime. It's a materially tinged concept placed on the reality. So, the basics of Shantarasa will be described first. When one is fully attached to Krishna's lotus feet, one attains the samatha stage. The word samatha is derived from the word sama. Therefore, Shantarasa, the position of neutrality, means being fully attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is the verdict from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. This state is called self-realization. These are the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one's intelligence is fully attached to my lotus feet, but one does not render practical service, one has attained the stage of Shantarati, or Sama. Without Shantarati, attachment to Krishna is very difficult to achieve. Samoman nistata budhe nama indriya samyama titiksha dhuka sammarso jivo pasta jayodriti. The word sama or shantarasa indicates that one is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. Dhamma means controlling the senses and not being deviated from the Lord's service. Endurance of unhappiness is titiksha, and driti means controlling the tongue and the genitals. Purport. This is a verse from the 11th canto, 19th chapter, 36th verse. It's the Uddhava Gita. The conditioned soul under the clutches of maya, or material energy, is very much agitated by the urges of the tongue and the genitals. Control of the urges of the tongue, the belly, and the genitals is called dhriti. One can control the dictates of these senses when situated in the position of shantarasa. Then one's advancement in Krishna consciousness is assured. This is the basic foundation for all devotees. Number one was they're attached to Krishna's lotus feet. And two is they're detached from everything material. So anyone who's in an actual relationship of rasa with Krishna must have that as the foundation. Because Samapriya and I are doing a japa workshop, I wanted to ask, to get an idea of what people, kind of like a general overview, how many people actually think of Krishna's lotus feet when they chant their japa? Okay. One of the topics we're presenting is how the holy name of Krishna, just as we're describing different progressive stages of rasa with relationship with Krishna, similarly the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, although on one level it just looks like it's 16 words, it is Krishna himself, and therefore has the same facilities of going deeper and deeper into that relationship while chanting. That is the process in this age of Kali Yuga. The name actually manifests itself as Nam, Rupa, Guna, and Leela. It's a progressive stages, and one has to begin at the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is further described as we continue, because by meditating on Krishna's lotus feet, one becomes attached to that which is transcendental to this material world. Krishna continues, giving up all desires not connected with Krishna is the business of one in Shantarasa. Only a devotee can be situated on that platform. He is thus called a Shantarasa Bhakta. Purport. In this position, one is freed from all material enjoyment. When one is not agitated or disturbed, he can immediately realize his relationship with Krishna. A Shantarasa devotee is therefore always fixed in realization. This instruction was given by the Lord himself to Uddhava. The beginning of pure devotional service is called Anyabhilasita Sunyam. When one is situated in the platform of neutrality, he is freed from the material platform and fully situated in spiritual life. Fully freed from the material platform and established in spiritual life is what we're aspiring for in the beginning. And so many devotees have a sentiment. There's another aspect of rasa that's interesting, is that it's not like we have a person who painted a backdrop for our deities, and she put in a rainbow. And if you paint a rainbow, generally what happens is you have a line that's red, yellow, green, blue, and violet. And you don't really get the natural blend that happens in nature. You have to be more expert to get the blend between the different colors. It's not like steps where you go from one to the other. That all of them, just like in nature, all these different qualities of sound, touch, taste, form, smell are there around us constantly. Even in the air, which is supposed to be only sound, or the sky, because we're in the world where it all mixes together, we smell air because it's mixed with other stuff. So I was thinking of a nice example that helps us to see how that progression goes. If you were to drive from the Everglades in Florida to California along the southern part of the United States, you start off where it's a lot of water in the Everglades. It's swampy. And you come up to Alachua, and you go over to Tallahassee, and you go to Louisiana, where it's the bayou, and it's also very swampy. But as you start to go through Texas, it starts to get really dry. By the time you get to El Paso, it's practically desert. So, but it didn't happen quickly. It's not like you drove through water to earth. It took you a gradual progression to get there. So even in our neophyte stages, we still have glimpses of love and ruchi. Although we might not be fixed on that platform of tasting Krishna consciousness all the time, we must have a taste or we wouldn't continue. So the flow, ebb and flow of all these different things mixing with the modes of material nature is what's called mixed devotional service, and that's how we're progressing. But the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the fine-tuning tool we can use, or that is used by devotees, just like the Shantarasa, Bhakta. Those qualities manifest itself through all the different levels. Similarly, all devotees of Lord Chaitanya have to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra Japa. Look at the history of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Every one of them did it. Not that somebody said, oh, I love kirtan, but I don't like japa. Can you imagine saying that to Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Swarup Damodar? I really don't like japa, but I love kirtan. We'll read some verses later. Their view of that. So the word dhamma used in verse 2.13 means indriya samyama, curbing one's senses. The word dhamma can also mean curbing one's enemies. A king has to take steps to curb the criminal activities of his citizens. Great Rajarshis, or devotee kings, used to control undesirable elements in their states. And this is also maybe called Dhamma. However, Dhamma in this verse refers to the conditioned soul who must control his senses. Real Dhamma means controlling the undesirable activities of the senses. Interesting example of a Rajarshi, a king, with an army to fight off unwanted, undesirable things in his kingdom. So similarly, for us to progress, we have to always be diligent against the undesirable desires of the senses and the mind. This is an important verse and carries with it the two qualities which are there throughout everything in devotional service. When a devotee is situated on the platform of Shantarasa, he desires neither elevation to the heavenly planets nor liberation. These are the results of karma and jnana, and the devotee considers them no better than hell. A person situated on the Shantarasa platform manifests these two transcendental qualities: detachment from all material desires and full attachment to Lord Krishna. Narayana para sarve na kutas chana bibhyati svaga pavarga narkesu apitul yartha darsina. A person who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, is not afraid of anything: elevation to the heavenly kingdoms, condemnation to hell, and liberation from material bondage all appear the same to the devotee. Purport: elevation to the heavenly planets, liberation from material bondage, and condemnation to hell are all equal to the devotee. The devotee's only desire is to be attached to the lotus feet of Krishna and to engage in his loving devotional service. Another nice analogy. On a radio, now they have digital radios, and you can get the exact number of the digital frequency on a radio. But that only has one button, and the treble and the bass and the different sounds that can be enhanced can't be adjusted with a radio and a simple radio. But if you go to a recording studio, I think we've all seen pictures of these huge boards where they have all kinds of dials. And what happens is that the engineer can adjust the subtle nuances of the sound in the music to bring out or subdue the different qualities of the sound. In the same way, we can look at our mind as like one with the dial. And you can say, okay, try to chant Hare Krishna. And you chant Hare Krishna, you've got it on the right dial and you're doing it. So therefore I'm chanting Hare Krishna. But what happens is that as one becomes more attuned to listening and understanding the nature of the mind, intelligence, false ego, and actual self of consciousness, it's like having that big board in front of us. And when we chant, what's the difference between Namaparad, Namabhas, and Sudanam? It's not the words. The words are the same for everybody. 16 words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama. But what is there must be a difference between Srila Prabhupada's quality of chanting and my quality of chanting. There's a huge, vast difference. But it sounds the same to me. When I put on his tape and I chant, I'm chanting with him and I try to sound like that. But there's a vast difference because of all those fine qualities of my heart and the qualities in his heart. So these qualities of not desiring liberation from material bondage, of course I want to get out of the material world, but I can't let that desire be prominent. It's not a desire that's more powerful than my desire to attach to Krishna. That transformation has to come apart consciously. Sometimes we ask, there was a question, one of the most often asked questions is, do I really have to know that to go back to Godhead? What that shows is that we should be captivated, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, captivated by this information. Why? Because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, actually in this section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where it's describing rasa, he says one has to study the scripture so that he or she understands what's going on in their heart when they live, when they chant, when they think of Krishna and their relationship with Krishna. The more we understand through scripture what reality is, the more we can fine-tune our own desires so that we also desire it. These two qualities of the Shanta stage spread through the lives of all devotees. They are like the quality of sound in sky. Sound vibration is found in all material elements. Purport. The two qualities of Shantarasa mentioned in verse 215 are present in all kinds of devotees, whether they are in Dasya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa, or Madhurya Rasa. What were the two qualities again? Can anybody raise their hand and give us a go? Yes, Prabhu. Detachment from materialistic things and attachment to Krishna. The example of sound is given herein. Sound not only exists in the sky or ether, but it is also present in air, it's present in fire, it's present in water, and it's present in earth. This is a scientific explanation of devotional service. Just as sound is present in all the material elements, the qualities found in Shantarasa are present in all devotees, whether they're on the platform of Dasya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa, or Madhurya Rasa. It is the nature of the Shantarasa that not even the smallest intimacy exists. Rather, knowledge of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma are prominent. So this is Lord Chaitanya's explanation of Shantarasa, which manifests itself in all the different rasas. Now he goes up to the next one. On the platform of Shantarasa, one realizes only his constitutional position. But when one is raised to the platform of Dasya Rasa, he better understands the full opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the Dasya Rasa platform, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed with awe and veneration. By rendering service unto Lord Krishna, the devotee in Dasya Rasa gives constant happiness to the Lord. The qualities of Shantarasa are also present in the Dasya Rasa, but service is added. Thus, the Dasya Rasa platform contains the qualities of both Shantarasa and Dasya Rasa. So, when one comes to understand who he's dealing with, the element of service enters. Seisha gave class a few weeks ago and revealed to us a very beautiful concept. Just as there are qualities in one rasa that precede to the other, there's a thread of a particular quality that also continues throughout the entire progression. It's called mamata. Mamata, he was discussing how this word means possessiveness. One's feeling of possessiveness increases as their love for Krishna increases. And I looked the word up when he gave the class and found an interesting feature. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's always translated possessiveness. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the word is translated intimacy. So what happens is that one's intimacy increases as one progresses in devotional service. And now we'll read about a very easy to understand example. The qualities of Shantarasa and the service of Dasya Rasa are both present on the platform of Sakya Rasa. On the platform of fraternity or friendship, the qualities of Dasya Rasa are mixed with confidence of fraternity instead of awe and veneration. On the Sakya Rasa platform, the devotee sometimes offers the Lord service and sometimes makes Krishna serve him in exchange. In their mock fighting, the cowherd boys would sometimes climb on the shoulders of Krishna, and sometimes they would make Krishna climb on their shoulders. Awe and veneration are absent on this platform of fraternity, since this rasa is predominated by confident service. Therefore, Sakya Rasa is characterized by the qualities of the three rasas. On the platform of Sakya Rasa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is controlled by the devotees who are intimate with him and think themselves equal to him. So, I was thinking of the example of Hanuman. He's in Dasya Rasa. Hanuman. Would anyone say that Hanuman is Lord Ram's friend? No, it's not his mood. But we read one of the beautiful, it's like genius, of Sanatan Goswami, is that he heard from Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told him, take what I've taught you and write books and excavate holy places and spread this Krishna consciousness. And his book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is the crest jewel of books on this topic. It reveals within it the nature of this one person Gopakumar and his unending aspiration to attain his home, the place where he, as an individual, belonged eternally, his sthayi bhava. We were talking about these different rasas. Another nice example, at least one we can relate with, sthayi bhava is an unchanging, a permanent relationship. Just like if a man and a woman have children, their relationship with those children is parent. And it lasts throughout the entire life. There's nothing anyone can do, no matter how friendly or odd the relationship may become. Still, there's that relationship is the foundation of what proceeds between them. It's always there. So in the same way, Mamaya Vamsa, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, Sanatana, all living entities are fragmental parts and parcels of Krishna. And each one of them has an individual nature, eternally. What happens, however, is that it becomes covered and it's unawakened. It's not prominent. And it becomes covered by a false ego. And therefore we identify with this body and with our families and with all the different things that go on in this material world. When in actuality, it's the same impulse, it's being filtered through this body and its concomitant parts and parcels of false ego and everything in culture. So that mamata and possessiveness in service with Hanuman will never progress to anything else, but he's fully satisfied. And do you think Lord Ram wants him to advance to another rasa? Does he want Hanuman? You know, Hanuman, come on. Why don't we be... No. It's perfect where it is. So each living entity, whatever they are, is perfectly situated. But what's being described here is that from a neutral position, one can understand that there are more and deeper flavors involved in different relationships. This is the basic concept that Ramananda Roy is producing. Now, if we can understand from this example of going from Dasya Rasa to Sakya Rasa, that kind of blend. Say a person is serving a king, and in the course of that service, there are different types of people. One person will remain completely satisfied simply to fold his clothes and serve his food and do whatever it takes, or clean up, sweep up, do whatever it needs around the palace. But a slightly different kind of person might talk to the king now and then the king talks back and forth, and gradually what might happen, very conceivably, is that a friendship would develop. And there are different phases, and one could be a servant friend, but as that intimacy, mamata, as that increases, as the engineer in the sound studio pushes up the dial for intimacy, then what happens is that intimacy starts to grow, and they become more friend than servant. And now you come up with a person sort of like Arjuna, where he's a friend of Krishna, but when he saw the universal form, it was like, whoa, please excuse me, forgive my offenses. But then after, please, I want you back to that two-armed form, because that's his sthayi bhava. He's always a friend of Krishna. So there are temporary emotions and there are steady emotions. And there are different gradations of friends. There's Priyanarma Sakas, who are these friends are so intimate with Lord Krishna that they're actually aware of and part of the whole intrigue to bring Radha and Krishna, or Krishna and the gopis together. Those kinds of friends, Arjuna's not on that level. Arjuna's not a Brijbasi. So what will be progressively brought out in this conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya are the intimate nature of the highest form of love. But it always has to be acknowledged and remembered that each person, each living entity, each jiva, no matter what their relationship, is properly situated when they attain their self-realized state. Next. On the platform of parental love, the qualities of Shantarasa, Dasya Rasa and Sakya Rasa are transformed into a form of service called maintenance. The essence of fraternal love or friendship is intimacy devoid of formality and veneration found in Dasya Rasa. Due to a greater sense of intimacy, mamata, the devotee functioning in parental love chastises and rebukes the Lord in an ordinary way. On the platform of parental love, the devotee considers himself the Lord's maintainer. Thus, the Lord is the object of maintenance like a son, and therefore this mellow is full of the qualities of the other four, of the four rasas, Shanta Rasa, Dasya Rasa, fraternity, and parental love. This is more transcendental nectar. Okay, so let's take the example of the servant of the king and his growing intimacy with the king to the point of friendship. Now, even though that person's a king, if the intimacy develops and the person has a particular nature and inclination, he'll start to think, I have to protect the king from whatever, even if it just starts off from the botheration of the other people in the palace. And then he starts to like close the door and make sure the king's not bothered by others, because that's my service. But it's his service with friendship and a little bit of parental love. And again, you take that knob of intimacy and increase it, and that same sentiment comes to the point of a personality like Mother Yasoda or Nanda Maharaj. And even in that realm of Vatsalya Rasa, there are gradations and like Dasarath and Kaushalya, Vasudeva and Devaki, Nanda and Yasoda. These are all Vatsalya Prema, or Aditi and Kasyapa. They're all Vatsalya Bhav, but on different gradations and platforms. But we can similarly see that the lower qualities also continue to manifest themselves in the later ones. The exchange of spiritual happiness between Krishna and his devotees, in which Krishna is controlled by the devotee, is compared to an ocean of nectar into which the devotee and Krishna plunge. This is the verdict of learned scholars who appreciate Krishna's opulence. Eti diksvalila bhirananda kunde svagosham nirmajantam akya payantam kariye sitane subhaktarjitatvam una prematastam sattavittivande. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drown the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are attached only to his majestic aspect of Narayan and Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord Damodar, my obeisance is hundreds and hundreds of times. This was parental love. And then finally, on the platform of conjugal love, attachment for Krishna, rendering service unto him, the relaxed feelings of fraternity and feelings of maintenance all increase in intimacy. On the platform of conjugal love, the devotee offers his body in service to the Lord. Thus, on this platform, the transcendental qualities of all five rasas are present. Purport. Attachment for Krishna in Shanta Rasa, rendering service to the Lord in Dasya Rasa, rendering relaxed service in fraternity, and serving Krishna in parental love with feelings of maintenance, all combined on the platform of conjugal love, when a devotee wants to serve the Lord by offering him his personal body. Thus, the qualities of the other rasas combine in the form of nectar of conjugal love. On this platform, all the different feelings of the devotee are amalgamated. So, in the last couple of weeks, I think there was a conversation question about how love of Krishna in Goloka. Should we acknowledge Krishna's opulence? According to this explanation, when Mother Yasoda saw the universal form in Krishna's mouth, she knew he was God. But her loving sentiment of maternal affection and Vatsalya Prema was so powerful that it overshadowed that knowledge. So it's not that we can, in our cultivation of Krishna consciousness, think that if I remain in ignorance of Krishna's qualities and opulences, that I will be able to relate with him on an intimate plane because I'm not thinking of him as God. It's a misunderstanding. And it's institutionally kind of manifest, where we think that I shouldn't know about Krishna's opulence. Where do you see Srila Prabhupada and his instructions telling anybody in this society that you shouldn't know the qualities of Krishna so that you can have intimate relationships with him? You won't find that. Now, if we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're harboring a misunderstanding, then can we attain pure devotional service? Will the purity of myself, my pure conscience, manifest? Or will some diversion of that, called Nama Bhas, manifest? When Ajamil was chanting his son's name, he was thinking of someone else. He wasn't thinking of Krishna. He was thinking of his son. That's why it's Nama Bhas and not Sudanam. So the idea of Harinam Japa, to get it, to fine-tune it, is that we have to have a method by which we can root out a different anarthas and unwanted aspects of philosophy even and understanding, so that Sudanam will manifest. And finally, all the material qualities evolve one after another in the material elements, beginning from ether. By gradual evolution, first one quality develops, then two qualities develop, then three and four, until all five qualities are found in the earth. Similarly, on the platform of conjugal love, all the feelings of the devotee are amalgamated. The intensified taste is certainly wonderful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then concluded, "I have simply given a general survey describing the mellows of devotional service. You can consider how to adjust and expand this." One last beautiful analogy that happened to me when I was studying this topic was, I figured that if each one of the elements kind of relates to a relationship, then what if you get into the details of the elements? So I looked up periodical elemental chart. It's a chart that modern science has made of the different elements in the material world. And they come up with 63. This general earth, water, fire, air, and ether are very general. And then you can more closely analyze each element. In an element, the way that they determine what that element is they go to its atomic structure. In the atom, there are neutrons, protons, and electrons swirling around a nucleus. Now, if there are 35 protons circulating around a nucleus, the element of all those atoms make up bromine. It's an element. And if only one more proton is added or subtracted, if it's 36 protons or 34 protons, the molecular atomic structure creates an entirely new element, krypton or other elements. So we can understand from this example how subtle, on the atomic level, each living entity compared to the elements and their relationship with Krishna is, if you just change one proton in an atom, it changes the quality of the element. So similarly, if you change one proton, in our analogy, of a personality in the atoms that in the qualities that make up a person, like two twins, born at the same time, same place, same mother, same atmosphere, they're two different people. Another example in this day and age is microwaves. If you call 462-1234, you get one person on it, you get one device on the other end of the phone. And if you call 462-1235, you get another one. So it reveals how subtle each one of our qualities is as a person, and how when we develop that personality and reawaken and blossom into the actual entity that we are, how pleasing that is to Lord Krishna. And each one of us is an individual. And finally, I wanted to read some topics, just because we're doing this japa workshop. The idea of a workshop say you wanted to learn how to do something, and you went to a weekend workshop to learn that art, that craft, that program. And it's not that while you were there, you would immerse yourself in it and understand it. But what happens is that you would get the tools, the information, the system, the method, the process, where you could take what you learned and go back into your life and apply it to whatever the workshop taught. Like if you wanted to make a patio, you'd go to a Home Depot and you learn, or Lowe's, and you learn how to design it, what to use it, what are the ingredients, how do you measure it up, what are the products you need. Then you go back and you use your own. Everybody has a different patio. Not everybody has the same square footage or the same color or the same design. You design your own. If you have if you go to a workshop for a computer program, like a spreadsheet, and they come up with a new one, and you go to the workshop, you learn how to use the details. Then you go back and you apply that knowledge to your own use. So in the same way, we're producing a workshop where the general topic is awakening love by japa, through japa. Japa is our most important tool in Krishna consciousness. I've done all kinds of services, deity worship, traveled to the holy places, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasanam, Sakyamatma, Nivedanam. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went to Lord Chaitanya and he asked him after he was converted, what is the most important of all these different devotional services? What should I do that will help me the most? And Lord Chaitanya said, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Why is it called the Maha Mantra? Can anyone say? Do we have the microphone, Keshava? Just for a minute. Who can say why it's called Maha Mantra? Who wants to give a little explanation? Ramya Prabhu?
Because as it says in the Shishastakam, Krishna has invested all his transcendental potencies.
Ah, beautiful.
In this mantra.
All his transcendental energies. Everything is in the holy name of Krishna. That's one reason. Any others? Nimai Pandit, why is it called Maha Mantra? So many mantras in Vedas.
It said that the 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to one name of Rama, and 3 names of Rama is one name of Krishna. So Krishna's name is the highest, and we chant Krishna's name.
Very nice.
The benefit of all the mantras.
Good. Another reason? Keshiha? Why Maha Mantra?
Well, Prabhupada says it's the great chant for deliverance. So ultimately, that if we chant this mantra, that will come to that point that you're talking about, which is our original place in the spiritual world.
Yes, very good. Here's one other one from the 9th canto. In this age, the performance of yajna has been forbidden because no one can properly chant the Vedic mantras. If Vedic mantras are chanted properly, the desire for which a sacrifice is performed must be successful. Therefore, the Hare Krishna chant is called Maha Mantra, the great exalted mantra above all other Vedic mantras, because simply by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra brings so many beneficial effects. In Bhagavad Gita, Yajnanam Japa Yajnosmi, of all sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, Japa. Chanting Hare Krishna is the purest representation of Krishna. It is the simplest and the purest. Whatever is sublime in the world is a representative of Krishna. Sanatana Goswami, his attitude towards japa. All glories to the blissful holy name of Sri Krishna, which causes the devotee to give up all conventional religious duties, meditation, and worship. When somehow or other uttered, even once by a living entity, the holy name awards him liberation. The holy name of Krishna is the highest nectar. It is my very life and my only treasure. We all know the story of the touchstone. It was in the garbage compared to chanting Hare Krishna. Now, that quality of being attached to the holy name and detached from everything in the material world, Where did we hear about that? Shantarasa. It's in all devotees. All devotees have to have this quality. Attached to Krishna, detached from the material world. Namavina kichu nahi ko ara chauda bhuvana madhi. There is nothing but the name in the 14 worlds. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani points out that in this material world there are only two spiritual things, the jiva and the holy name of Krishna. I do not know how much the two syllables, how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When the name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. Wow, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to chant japa like that? So we have to know the process. We have to apply it. That's our process. That's our sadhana. That's our life. How, if we apply ourselves, then we can gradually elevate and come to this platform. Raghunath Das Goswami, this is so poetic, very beautiful. O tongue, tortured by thirst, please me with the delicious nectar, the name of Radha, and the wonderfully sweet condensed milk of the name of Krishna. Add the fragrant ice of pure love and drink this charming drink at every moment. And finally, O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. The verse again. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another. But that love which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desires manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. Any questions or comments or answerable?
In the beginning you were saying that one can't apply his material experiences and conceptions to understanding Krishna with activities and relationships. But what else do we have? I mean, that's how my frame of reference. But to know,
good question.
Krishna is beyond that, but still, when I think of trance, I think of beyond trance.
Yes, of course. I think in your statement you just kind of answered it by saying that this is all I have, but I know that other exists. In other words, I think what happens with one's intelligence is that we know there's a higher goal. We know there's a goal beyond what we're experiencing. And the difference between a devotee who knows that and a karmi who doesn't know that there's life after death is that the karmi thinks this is real. This is all there is. This is reality. And I think we have to constantly be on guard. To constantly understand this is not reality. This is a progression towards eternity and beyond birth and death and my actual self. No doubt everything here is meaningful. When used in Krishna consciousness, it's like that example of the iron in the fire. It's becoming purified. But right now I'm very mixed in my emotions. There's two different bodies. There's the chaste rupa, the mind, body, and words, and there's the bhava rupa, the emotional body. And that's where the fine-tuning of that board with so much goes on. And it's a constant endeavor to acknowledge our relationships here as meaningful. If we were to discard, on the other hand, the extreme of discarding the relationships we have in this world, then that would be not using things in Krishna's service, artificial renunciation. One would become harsh and cold and hard. So yes, we learn. It's a fine balancing process with the same understanding and awareness that it's temporary. That's my best.
When you get into the conjugal rasa, then people, it seems, to sum it up, they perceive Krishna's activities to be just like another romantic story.
Good. Exactly. And we're constantly being put on notice not to do that, right? You know, that's what a sahaja does.
But it is a romantic.
Yes, it is. The rasa, it's again, it's the example I like of in the mirror. If you jump up and down, it goes up and down, the reflection. But it's inside out and backwards. So it appears like it's the same thing of rasa in conjugal relationships of the material world, but it's inside out and backwards and not real. Otherwise, the symptoms of ecstasy, eternity, there's no relationships in this material world that are eternal, not one. So the difference between the reality and the illusion has to be acknowledged. The substance, the satisfaction. In spirit, just because of the nature of spirit, it's ever fresh. That's the nature of spirit. So in a relationship that's spiritual, it's ever fresh. It never gets hackneyed, it never gets old, it never gets frustrating. There are different emotions that manifest temporarily within it, those seven indirect rasas. But nonetheless, it's in this material world, the ultimate end of every love story is death. Isn't it? Every single one. So it's frustrating to the soul. Oh, I did it. You know, I can't get no satisfaction.
would it be correct to say the all other mantras, there are so many powerful mantras, but all mantras put together is inside of the Hare Krishna mantra?
Yes, excellent, thank you, beautiful. Yes, just as Ramiya said, all the transcendental shaktis are within the Hare Krishna mantra.
And did you just say that any relationship in the material world is
temporary?
They're all temporary.
Yes, and in death.
Like in this world, there's also, I guess, guru disciple relationship that would be considered spiritual.
Yes, but there's a part of it, the vapu, which is temporary. Srila Prabhupada's vapu is no longer here. It's no longer among us. So that aspect of the relationship was temporarily manifested. Samakriya? By the way, there are flyers in the back of the temple, in those little boxes. There are notices on all the bulletin boards. There's an advertisement or a notice in the newsletter about our japa workshop. And if you want to write me an email and ask more questions, japaworkshop@gmail.com. It's the first weekend in October, the first weekend in Kartik, October 19th and 20th. Yes?
Hare Krishna. In relation to the rasas and our relationships in the material world, it's not that we are without relationships. We are all wanting to deepen that love with each other. But actually the source is the same example of watering the root of the tree. That hankering, that desire for love and sharing of relationships, if it's in relation to Krishna, that's why the whole process is there of becoming a devotee. We don't immediately say, oh, I want to be a devotee in the Vatsalya Ras, and then it happens. There is a process that we follow in this material world, and that's chanting Hare Krishna, that's following the regulated principles of bhakti, and these things awaken love for Krishna, and therefore we can have relationships with each other, with all living entities based on that. So it's not impersonal. We're people, and we need to love. But the love that we have with each other, unless it's coming from the root of the regulated principles of bhakti, the root of love for Krishna, they're not real relationships. They're temporary, as you said, they're temporary, but they won't satisfy the soul.
Thank you. Or your Vegapati?
Hare Krishna. Just as I was forming this question in my mind, you touched on answering it, and also what Samantha has just said also helps understand. But here's what I was thinking. When you were describing the two forms, one external and then the Pavarupa, I was thinking how in ISKCON, especially as the society began with like a lot of young, uncultured people being instructed, we're not these bodies, we're not this mind. And it seems like we may have pendulum swung too far on the denial of our emotions. And definitely the movement is mellowing in that respect, but I wonder if you could give some guidance on, or it seems like it may be that if we don't acknowledge the feeling part of our nature, then we create an atmosphere where people that want that, that need that, may go towards something more like to Sahajism you were describing earlier. Oh, I don't want to know the opulence. I don't want to know philosophy, because the philosophy seems to me, the way I've experienced it, cold and impersonal. It's not, of course, but how we relate to one another.
Very good point. I've also had that same realization that when Krishna consciousness first started and devotees got realizations and the society was created. Let's look at it like a behavioral scientist. So you see this group of people that gets together and they convert to the new religion and they're learning the new philosophy and they're applying it. They're still very neophyte in their understanding, but certain realizations that they get individually and then as a group start to solidify and become manifest in the group as spiritual. When in actuality they might not be very advanced spiritual. They're a very neophyte because everybody was neophyte. And what's happened even over 40 years is just like we talked about the qualities of Shanta Rasa being manifest in all the different rasas up to conjugal love, some of the leftover residue, we'll call it, or whatever you want to call it, the leftover behavioral tendencies that took place in the beginning as advanced have continued to rise up like cream, although it's not really like cream, it's more like something else, that comes up to the top and floats. So it kind of stays there in our society. And yes, we have to be very diligent about it and attentive. And one of the interesting topics that we came across in our Samapriya and I started about 3 months ago really digging into the topic of japa to try to put together a program for us to better understand our own japa and help others see the process. And one of the topics that we discuss and continue to do so is the individual, which is the practice of japa. When you go off to chant your japa, you're all by yourself. You should be. It's a good thing between you and Krishna to be alone. But yet there's the activities of the group. And what social pressure and social expectancy do to a person, and how they affect us in our balance. So it's a very interesting topic. Thank you for bringing it up and speaking it so eloquently and nicely. Jenny.
But it's not that the other ones don't please him.
Very good, exactly.
But at the same time, what is it that's so special about the conjugal rasa that makes him so absorbed in it?
Okay, the question, and for those on the internet that might not have heard it because of the microphone, Ramiya was expressing that Krishna, on one hand, we hear that he's fully satisfied with conjugal love, but we know that he's also not dissatisfied by any of the others, so what makes conjugal love so tasty? Just last week, Leela Nanda Prabhu gave class, and this was one of the verses he spoke. It is true that whatever relationship a particular devotee has with the Lord is best for him. Still, when we study all the different methods from a neutral position, we can understand that there are higher and lower degrees of love. And I think the qualities of conjugal love that are so tasty are just coming up in the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya. They've gone through all the different material things, the Varnashram Dharma. They're giving up over the Varnashram Dharma. They came to the platform of spontaneous love. Then Shantarasya, Dasyarasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, now Madhurya, and now the package, like a chapter, has almost ended. There's a couple more verses which describe it. And then Lord Chaitanya will say, please go further. And Ramananda Roy will say, until this day, I've never heard anyone desire to go further than this. And like I said, we're only on text 100 and there's 0300. So the rest of the chapter will bring out the qualities and the tastes and the different characteristics of conjugal love that make it so fulfilling in life and to Lord Krishna, why it's so prominent in his in love, with that same understanding that none of them are in any way less, but yet one, it's more full, just like all the elements. They're all important, they all interrelate, but earth has all the qualities of all the other ones. So being followers of Lord Chaitanya, we can appreciate all that without thinking that we're in that relationship with Krishna. Yes. And as we're a pure conscious entity, like a seed, everything is in the seed. The entire mango tree and all the other, the potential is in that seed. Now, whatever is in that seed is who it is. If the seed stays on a shelf, nothing will ever happen to that seed, although all the qualities and potential is still there. But when that seed's put into the ground, what happens is that when you first put it in, you don't really see anything. Nothing happens. You can't even tell that it's in the ground. It's under the ground. But what's going on is that by being in contact with the earth, by being in contact with light coming from the sun, with the rains that come in, with nature, the process of germination, sprouting, activates what's in that seed. So in the same way, when a living entity is in the material world, it's like being on the shelf. But when they come in contact with devotees of Krishna, when devotees of God, some service, some activities, some appreciation, then that's like putting the seed into the ground. That example of Bhakti Lata Beach, you know, Brahmande Brahmate Kong Bhagavan Ji Guru Krishna Prasad, that through 808,400,000 species, the living entity is traveling. Finally, Bhagavanji, one that's fortunate, gets activated. It's not that the guru gives something other than instructions, rules and regulations. There's another thing we found out. We have a beautiful poster that we've made about Bhakti Lata and how it expands. So as that seed comes up out of the ground, then what happens is that at first it just looks like a little green thing and you still can't tell what it is. But gradually, as that plant comes out and manifests its nature, which was in it all the time, you can start to see what it is. And it starts to reveal its complete bloom. And the more it grows and the more it expands, the more it reveals its individuality and its qualities and its nature and its taste. And then finally the rasas comes up through the through the trunk of the tree, into the branches, through the flowers, and into the fruit. And then there's the fruit, which manifests the real nature. And then the fruit is not even ripe in the beginning. So we can't even say that it's the full taste until it's finally ripened. And then you taste that, and oh, that's the sweetness. So as a person grows, we don't have to fake it. We don't have to. That's what sahajas do. They fake they try to, you know, force it. You don't have to force anything to grow. You have to give it the right atmosphere. And kirtan, chanting, japa, worshipping the deity, associating with devotees, going to the holy places, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, these nourish. These are like the earth and the air and the water and the fire and the rains. These are what activate the self to awaken. And as the self awakens, its natural qualities will manifest, just like a seed. It's natural. But you have to put yourself in that position, otherwise you just stay on the shelf and nothing happens.
Beautiful.
Third and purple.
Thank you for the class. I was just thinking that, you know, this is very high philosophy for me to hear. I mean, wow, these relationships. And what I think is happening within our movement is we can easily jump to these relationships without really establishing ourselves with relationship with Prabhupada's Vani. Mm. And through the instructions of the spiritual master, really following the Vani, then we can actually have an opportunity to, you know, relate to these things.
Very good. You know, and that one statement, what is it? Religion without philosophy is sentiment. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So I think what you're talking about is that principle of a religion without philosophy. If our actions, if our sentiments, if our life isn't based on the Vani of the founder Acharya, then it's going to be influenced by some sentiments.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and actually, I know, I guess it's what I would like, but I feel that classes, even each morning, should have some focus on that, because I see it's being forgotten. It's our nature to forget. And we're forgetting actually the position of Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya, daily. We're forgetting he's asking us to come here and chant together every morning if we can. This is a realization I've had. I'm thinking, what have I been doing the last 10 years? You know, I've been thinking I'll chant japa myself in my house. You know, I'll, you know, come late, miss three quarters of Guru Puja, or miss it all, just bring the kids to school. I realized, wow, this is not following Prabhupada.
I'm thinking of like a person that like a sports person who's become expert, like a pro all star. They always have to go back to the fundamentals in practice. They always have to keep that. Otherwise, you can develop bad habits and kind of become a little loose, and it will show up in your game. Or a musician who picks up a bad habit and continues that and compounds it. So yes, I agree. Thank you.
Yeah, I also want one other point. I can see that our relationships with other devotees can be a good reflection in how we're associating with other devotees and how what our relationship with Krishna is. We're thinking, I want to go, you know, to karmi restaurants with devotees, or go to movies, or, you know, just get together and hang out. If we want to come together and really do devotional things, it's a good, you know, can show us where we're at.
Yeah, nice. Okay. Yamaraj?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you for a very beautiful class.
Thank you.
On that note, what Prabhu was just speaking about, right now I'm reading the Reflections of Sacred Teachings, Bhaktisiddhanta. And on Bhaktisiddhanta Swami's purport one of the principles, and he's talking about, I'm going to just read a little right quick. Say, among the residents of the spiritual world, the gopis are happiest when they see Radharani enjoying with Krishna. But Radharani is even happier when she can make arrangements for the gopis to enjoy with Krishna. We can understand that we are really advancing if something wonderful happens to appear, and we feel even happier than if it had happened to us. Conversely, when someone has a misfortune, we can understand our level of advancement if we feel just as sad as if it had happened to us. If we feel these emotions, we can recognize that we are becoming more fixed in selfless kind of mode. However, the opposite often happens due to material consciousness. When someone has a misfortune, a so-called friend might tell the person, "I'm so sorry this happened to you." Although in their mind they're thinking, "Wow, I'm glad it happened to you, not to me." Or even worse, they think, "Well, now that it happened to you, I have better leverage to get what I wanted." How often do we think in this way? However, if we feel the happiness of others as well as their sadness, then we are approaching a more advanced state of real love. We might have a small glimpse of this feeling when we love someone else deeply. When something wonderful happens to someone we love, we also feel wonderful, even though it didn't happen to us. But if you don't love them, you just cannot wait until they stop talking and wonder why they get all the good breaks.
Yes, I think that's like on that board that I was describing, like the audio board and a recording studio, some of the finer tuning. Like Lord Chaitanya and Gundicha, they cleaned the dust, then he went back and had them clean the finer dust, and then the finer dust. So in that way, yes, we have to be attentive to our sentiments and our thoughts and try to refine them and purify them. Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.